Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, July 2nd, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, library supporters display books and table in front of libraries in Nampa and other Treasure Valley communities, as well as in Friendship Square in Moscow, as House Bill 710 went into effect yesterday. That's the bill regulating harmful materials in libraries. Dozens of new laws took effect in Idaho yesterday. Energy Northwest wants to build 12 modular nuclear reactors next to the Columbia Generating Station at Richland to nearly double the Northwest's nuclear power output. And Idaho Democrats approve resolutions at state convention on June 23rd. We'll have details of those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Nez Perce County Sheriff's Office issued a Facebook statement at about 4:30 today saying the area around 800 Lapway Road is closed because of an active incident. They said shots were fired. They say the intersection of Lapway Road and Lindsay Creek Road east of Lewiston is closed, but Gun Club Road is still open. Pullman police say emergency crews airlifted a 22-year-old Moscow man to a Spokane hospital after another man stabbed him in the Sunset Mart parking lot around 5 p.m. Monday on Bishop Boulevard. Police say they arrested 38-year-old Cesar Marmolejos of Pullman on suspicion of first-degree assault. Pullman police said in a news release the victim, who was not named, was expected to be released from the hospital today. The release said multiple people were fighting in the Sunset Mart parking lot and that the fight was related to a dispute on social media. The National Weather Service predicts July will be seasonably dry and hot in the inland northwest, with little expected relief from drought conditions after a drier than usual June. The agency has issued an excessive heat watch for central and eastern Washington and northern and north central Idaho for Saturday afternoon through Tuesday evening next week, with temperatures in some places exceeding 100 degrees. The Spokane area got a half an inch of rain Sunday to close out the month of June, and there were 650 lightning strikes from the storm that day in northeastern Washington. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers dam managers at Dworshak Dam near Orofino say they will lower the North Fork of the Clearwater River's levels beneath the dam by Wednesday night. The water flow increase is to help mitigate high water temperatures in the lower Snake River and protect threatened and endangered salmon and steelhead. Canyon County Democrats tabled outside the Nampa Public Library Monday, the day Idaho's so-called harmful materials law went into effect, requiring libraries to have forums for reconsideration available for people to ask for books they feel are inappropriate for children to be moved to an adults-only section. The law says the complainant is entitled to sue for $250 plus, quote, actual damages and any other relief available by law, unquote, if the books are not moved within 60 days, but the new law has no provision for countering challenges to the books. The Democrats displayed books and said they were there to express solidarity with librarians. Canyon County Democrats volunteer Jordan Carroll told the Idaho Press, "People come here not just to read books. They come here to use the computers. They come here to learn. It's disheartening to know that the state government wants to try to restrict." Carroll said House Bill 710, which Governor Brad Little signed in March, is pushing libraries to be non-inclusive. The people at the table said they are concerned under House Bill 710, people can intentionally target libraries and certain books. Idaho House District 12 candidate Don Benson said the bill targets the LGBTQ+ community because it lists homosexuality as obscene. House Bill 710 used Idaho's 1972 obscenity statute as a template for defining harmful material. Other subjects tagged as harmful in the bill include nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, sadomasochistic abuse, and normal or perverted intimate sexual acts. Nampa Public Library Director Claire Connolly told the Idaho Press, "The Nampa Public Library uses the Miller obscenity test based on a U.S. Supreme Court case." Connolly said, "We don't have any pornography. We don't have anything that doesn't have value." She also noted the three-story library keeps books intended for children under 12 on the first floor, and the teens and adult sections are on the second and third floors. Connolly said, "If parents just want their children to see children's materials, keep them on the first floor." She noted, "Some of the tiny libraries in rural Idaho don't have room for adults-only sections, and that the Donnelly Library near McCall recently made their entire building adults-only, and minors can only enter the library accompanied by a parent or guardian." Penny Neely, who was at the event, said, "I think the legislature wastes a lot of time being concerned about books, being concerned about what bathroom your kids use, about things that aren't of concern." Opponents of censoring say books that mention homosexuality or have trans characters can literally save lives of isolated teens in a time of high teen suicide rates, because books that have characters they can relate to or identify with can convince them they aren't alone or abnormal. There were also pro-library events in Lewiston and Moscow Monday. The Lewiston Tribune reports there were about 20 demonstrators outside the Lewiston City Library with signs supporting libraries. One sign said, "Fight anti-literacy," and another said, "Ban phones in schools, not books in libraries." At the pro-library event Monday in Moscow's Friendship Square, Latah County Democratic Party Chair Gretchen Wisner told the Lewiston Tribune, "HB 710 has the potential to overwhelm our libraries with costly legal battles. In fact, every library contains a book that will offend someone within their community." Latah County Library Board Member Saba Baig said libraries are not here to serve one viewpoint or one demographic. Baig said libraries should be nonpartisan and patrons should be allowed to make their own decisions about what to read. She said House Bill 710 puts libraries at risk of lawsuits and censorship. She said, "Regardless of merit, we have to expend time and staff resources and money evaluating and responding to each request. Those are hard-earned taxpayer dollars wasted for a redundant policy and procedure." Kathy Dawes, who is running as a Democrat against Republican District 6 House member Brandon Mitchell in November, said the Latah Library District does not have the resources to segregate books into adults-only sections. Dawes said, "This is a very serious action and, in fact, results in book banning." Rhoda Mack said at the Moscow event, "Access to books is fundamental to democracy, period." Haven Bloom told reporters she grew up in a censored environment and she now appreciates libraries for introducing new ideas. Bloom, whose seven-year-old spoke at the Friendship Square event, said most of her family is queer and it's important they are represented in libraries. At the Idaho Democratic State Convention in Moscow, June 23rd, delegates unanimously passed a resolution supporting libraries. Here, Platform Committee Vice Chair Terry Pickens read the resolution out loud.
Number two is the resolution regarding support of public and school libraries and the freedom to read. All right, this, again, it goes along with our first plank of the platform. Whereas, on April 10th, 2024, the governor signed into law House Bill 710, now Idaho Code 18-1517B, which allows for people to sue libraries over content they feel to be inappropriate. And whereas this infringes on the rights of parents to make decisions about what is and what is not appropriate for their own children. And whereas this is an attack on the LGBTQ plus community, whose stories and depictions have been targeted for censorship. And whereas 69% of Idahoans, the majority of libraries, and the Idaho Library Association oppose this legislation. And whereas the First Amendment protects access to information and the right to read. And whereas libraries are governed by a local board of trustees that sets policy and ensures materials in their collections meet the needs of all people in their community. And whereas books on controversial or challenging topics create opportunities for growth and learning and help youth critically navigate their world. And whereas Idaho students are reading significantly below grade level, and this bill further prevents access to literacy materials for Idaho families. And whereas librarians are professionals who take their jobs and responsibilities seriously, therefore, be resolved that the Idaho Democratic Party stands against Idaho Code 18-1517B and believes that it is the responsibility of parents or guardians to determine whether a book is appropriate for their child. And be it also resolved that the Idaho Democratic Party will organize a day of action on July 1st. What are we going to do 2024 there again? Well, anyway, to stand against this harmful legislation. Events will be held in communities across the state to show our support for our local libraries and staff.
That was Idaho Democrat Platform Committee Vice Chair Terry Pickens reading a resolution at the Idaho State Democratic Convention in Moscow on June 23rd, which delegates approved unanimously. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, specializing in food, goods, and programs that nourish and nurture our community. The Moscow Food Co-op is located at 121 East 5th Street. For more information, visit moscowfood.coop, call 882-8537, or find them on Facebook. KRFP is also sponsored by
Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tiedye-everything.com.
A new report examines the rollout of the 988 mental health crisis line in each state, including Idaho. The national three-digit 988 suicide and crisis lifeline is nearing its second anniversary. While the report from the group Inseparable says progress is needed, it notes the number was a critical step toward providing better care. Director of the Idaho Crisis and Suicide Hotline Lee Flynn says 988 is part of a bigger vision for providing mental health care, which starts with the crisis hotline she operates.
A second essential element is somewhere to go, and in Idaho right now, that is Idaho's mobile response teams. And then it's also important to have crisis care facilities to go to.
Flynn adds that the Idaho Behavioral Health Plan went into effect at the beginning of July. She says the plan will improve the state's crisis care system. Angela Kimball with Inseparable says one issue states need to solve is finances, including how the program is funded and ensuring services are available to everyone regardless of their health insurance status.
That means that a system has to be built to not just be dependent on Medicaid, for example. And that means that legislatures actually need to take the step to ensure that there are other funding sources besides Medicaid.
Flynn says another important piece is raising awareness about the help that the 988 crisis line is able to provide.
We really want to encourage anyone, if you're going through anything difficult, any kind of emotional distress, whether you have suicidal feelings or not, just know that 988 is a resource for you and it's a resource for your loved ones as well.
For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
More than a dozen new Idaho laws went into effect Monday. Here's a list of some of the big ones compiled by the Idaho Press. The state will essentially require libraries to remove any material that a patron considers obscene to a special adults-only section or if they don't have the space, remove the book entirely. Another law going into effect would allow parents or guardians to recover damages from an internet service provider if they do not block children from finding material deemed harmful to them. The new state law allows parents or guardians to recover damages against commercial entities that publish or distribute material appealing to prurient interests of minors on the internet. Under a new state law that went into effect yesterday, education officials cannot allow public school employees and others working for the state to acknowledge a trans student's name. It also prevents public employees to refer to a minor by their preferred gender pronoun without the parent or guardian permission. Another bill going into effect prohibits the state from allowing public funding for gender-affirming care, meaning Medicaid cannot fund gender-affirming care for adults. A judge issued a restraining order against that law over the weekend for seven trans and intersex Idaho citizens, but otherwise let the law go into effect. Another law going into effect now requires parental consent for any medical care on a minor unless the minor is emancipated or the care is needed to prevent the death or imminent irreparable physical injury or if the parent cannot be contacted in emergency situations. Until now, minors in Idaho could consent to certain medical care without approval of parents or guardians, such as treatment for sexually transmitted diseases. A new law allows the Idaho Board of Medicine to collect information about the state's maternal mortality rate after a one-year gap caused by the legislature allowing a federally funded health and welfare committee that reviewed maternal mortality data to expire. Another new state law prohibits local governments from banning discrimination by landlords against renters who receive federal Section 8 housing funding. Republican Representative Brandon Mitchell of Moscow introduced the local preemption bill, and the legislature passed it after the city of Boise passed an ordinance capping rent application fees at $30. That law will not go into effect until January 1, 2025. Energy Forward Alliance is planning to build a dozen modular reactors, which they expect to almost double the nuclear energy output of the Northwest. Energy Forward Alliance Executive Director Sean O'Brien said during a tour Friday for local officials and tribal leaders of the site adjacent to the Columbia Generating Station, there is a long and complex history of the Hanford site that is ongoing in our region and our community. That's why communication and education is the key. These are clean and safe reactors and in no way related to Hanford. The new nuclear project comes at a time when federal contractors are still cleaning up the Hanford site, which became the most polluted location in the world when workers buried nuclear waste from the Department of Energy's nuclear war projects in leaky tanks along the banks of the Columbia River. O'Brien said the new nuclear energy facility will be built on land adjacent to the Columbia Generating Station at Richland, which is the only operating nuclear power plant in the Northwest. The Spokesman Review reports the Columbia Generating Station, owned by Energy Northwest, has been operating since 1984 and produces 10% of the power used in the state of Washington, or 1,207 megawatts of power. Energy Northwest and Energy Forward want to build 12 modular reactors on the site capable of producing 960 megawatts. According to the Spokesman Review, the Department of Energy says the new, smaller reactors Energy Northwest wants to install are safer and more efficient than previous reactors. Lawmakers in Olympia approved $25 million for the modular reactors project in March. Delegates to the Washington State Democratic Party convention in May narrowly rejected a resolution that would have prohibited the expansion of nuclear power in the state.
The Conservation Fund, which works to protect land and nature across the U.S., has announced it has protected more than 1 million acres of working forest lands across the country, including in Oregon. The organization's milestone comes as forests are rapidly disappearing, as much as 13 million acres in the next few decades. The Conservation Fund's Brian Dangler says valuable work continues on the protected land, which adds to the nearby economy.
The beauty of these projects is that the receipts from the timber sustainable management of forests, timber harvest, really helps local folks to keep the schools going, the fire department, the local services.
The Conservation Fund has helped protect forest land in the Columbia River Gorge near Hood River and Deep River Woods near Astoria. Nationwide, it's secured forests in 21 states. The organization uses community and private partnerships to protect nature. Dangler says large, intact forests support jobs in rural communities through logging, trucking, building roads, and other activities.
And of course, the wildlife habitat that goes along with it. Good forest management usually improves wildlife habitat for lots of different species.
Dangler says development is one of the biggest threats to forests and that it's important to keep forest lands as units rather than smaller parcels.
Eventually, more and more development just nibbles away at these large intact forests. It's very important for them to be large in landscape. It's like Humpty Dumpty. You can't put it back together again when it gets fragmented so much.
For Oregon News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Earlier in the program, we aired one of the nine resolutions delegates to the Democratic State Convention passed in Moscow June 23rd. Here's another resolution that the delegates passed supporting Public Education, Public Access Platform Committee Vice Chair Terry Pickens read the resolution aloud.
Resolution in support of public education access and integrity. Whereas the Idaho Constitution mandates the legislature to maintain a general, uniform, and thorough system of public, free, common schools through adequate funding. And whereas Idaho consistently ranks 51st in the nation for per-student funding in statewide assessments, have found that hundreds of millions of dollars in repairs, expansions, and upgrades are needed by school districts. And whereas, quote, in quotes, right, school choice advocates seek to bypass the Blaine Amendment of the Idaho Constitution, which is Article 9, Section 5, by redistributing public funds to families in the form of vouchers, since no state or local government entity may direct taxpayer money to any religious or sectarian organization. And whereas vouchers are especially harmful to rural communities wherein non-public educational choices are limited, and public school funding is already inadequate. And whereas families forego public support and regulation by the Idaho Department of Education when choosing to homeschool students. And whereas non-public schooling is not subject to state or federal systems of accountability, including learning standards, student performance measures, financial oversight, and other regulations. And whereas all non-public schools are able to choose their students and do not have to accommodate or provide support services to special needs students. Therefore, be it resolved that the Idaho Democratic Party calls upon the legislature to honor its constitutional responsibility to maintain a non-sectarian, comprehensive system of public education by increasing per-student funding, fully funding student school budgets, upgrading school facilities, increasing student support services, retaining the Blaine Amendment, and rejecting public funds being directed to private and religious schools through any form, a school voucher, tax credit, educational savings account, or other means of redistributing taxpayer monies intended for public schools.
That was Idaho Democratic Party Platform Committee Vice Chair Terry Pickens reading Resolution 1 of 9 resolutions that delegates to the State Democratic Convention passed in Moscow on June 23rd. That one concerning public education and public access and integrity.
Wildlife experts are warning people not to get too close to the animals in national parks as the summer travel season heats up. Overeager tourists can not only put themselves in danger, but threaten the animals. 3 million people visit Montana's Glacier National Park each year, and many want photos with the iconic bison that are threatened and being reintroduced to the wild. Shammy Anderson with Defenders of Wildlife says while interaction with animals is part of the national park experience, it's important to give the bison their space, so tourists need to keep their distance.
You know, they pull off the roadway to view bison or maybe bears if they see one, and they just want to get that selfie or that photo with their cell phones, and they approach these animals as if they're at a zoo. These are not zoos. These animals are very wild, and we need to keep them wild.
Anderson tells park visitors to stay at least 25 yards away from bison and 200 yards from bears and wolves. Defenders of Wildlife has released a video on YouTube describing what to consider when interacting with animals in Montana's Glacier and Yellowstone National Parks. In North Carolina, Defenders of Wildlife's Tracy Davids says the group is going beyond just educating tourists, but also asking professional photographers to back off the remaining 20 or so red wolves in the eastern wetlands of the state.
Particularly now during puppy season, we've had reports of photographers getting a little too close, not so much putting themselves in jeopardy, but in a way that's harassing the wolves.
An 83-year-old woman from South Carolina sustained serious injuries when she was gored by a bison at Yellowstone in June. The National Park Service says the bison was defending its space, came within a few feet of the woman, and lifted her about a foot off the ground with its horns. The Park Service says bison injure more people in Yellowstone than any other animal, typically one or two a year. This is Mark Moran for Big Sky Connection.
And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, the National Weather Service has issued an excessive heat watch for Saturday 10 a.m. through 10 p.m. Tuesday evening for northern and north-central Idaho and central and eastern Washington. Dangerously hot conditions during the day with little relief overnight possible. Highs will be in the 90s to low 100s. Overnight lows will be in the upper 50s to low 70s. Heat-related illnesses increase significantly during extreme heat and high humidity events. Drink plenty of fluid, stay in an air-conditioned room, stay out of the sun, and check up on relatives and neighbors. Do not leave young children and pets in unattended vehicles. Car interiors will reach lethal temperatures in a matter of minutes. Monitor the latest forecasts and for warnings and updates. Moscow Pullman forecast calling for mostly clear conditions at least through Tuesday, with a low of 49 tonight, with west winds 5 to 10, gusts up to 20. Highs will be 77 tomorrow, 83 on the 4th of July Thursday, 91 Friday and Saturday, 94 Sunday and Monday, and 98 on Tuesday of next week. Lows will be 51 Wednesday night, 54 Thursday night, 57 Friday and Saturday night, and 60 Sunday and Monday night. Also, Wednesday, west winds 10, gusts up to 20. Current temperature is 73. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. There you can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can also adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robertus. Have a good night. Flashpoints is up next. Rude Awakening live in the studios, 7:30 to 9:30, and the Brent Bent Show playing music for you on at 9:30 till 11, and Intercepted with Jeremy Scahill on at 11 o'clock. Music, information, and entertainment throughout your evening. KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored in part by Hunga Dunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow, Hunga Dunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers at hungadungabrewing.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
KRFP supports progressive values, including multiculturalism and environmentalism.
KRFP, Moscow is the best in the USA.
Yeah.